This is the Home Tech Podcast, the Monday special Monday evening Windows Phone 7 in the Enterprise Edition. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live and commercial-free from the AverageGuy.tv studios. Here in a, we had a thunderstorm roll through last night, and we had a near lightning strike the house, and it caused enough static electricity that my microphone went out. It was weird. I was talking with Rich O'Neill, and the microphone went out. So perfect Midwestern weather here in the great state of Nebraska, and of course with the shows we post them each week out to the AverageGuy.tv. You can send me an email. It's Monday night. Boy, it's been a long day. Podcast at theAverageGuy.tv. You can track me down on Twitter, just at Jay Collison. Follow the show schedule Twitter account. It's just at theAverageGuy.tv. We also got a bunch of links for everything you can imagine. If you want to download it to your iPhone, your iPod, your Windows phone, your Android device, all those links are available at theAverageGuy.tv, and instructions on how to get it done. If you just want to click on that, you can get the show each and every week automatically. Of course, if you're watching us on YouTube, welcome. We've been kicking out live hangouts to YouTube, and you can join us. Just type in theAverageGuy.tv/live. And we actually have chat available for folks if they want to drop out there and do that. If you're in any of those platforms, we have a Facebook page, a Facebook group. You can find it just about anywhere. Send us a note, a message, a like, a vote, a thumbs up, whatever you'd like. It's the easiest way to get that done. That way I know that you're out there, and that helps in the search rankings. All right, tonight we're going to do this podcast over the weekend, and I just ran out of time and couldn't pull it together. So I asked our guest, hey, can we do this on Monday night? And he said, absolutely. So I'm grateful for that. Kevin Schooner, he found me, I think you found me. You've been a long time, Kevin, you've been a long time Home Server Show listener, right? And you've been listening to the podcast. Track me down, was it Facebook?
Probably through Facebook, yeah.
I think it was on Facebook. And said, hey, I'd be real interested in talking about Windows Phone 7. For those who are new to the podcast, Nokia sent me a Lumia 800, which we have been reviewing for the last 4 weeks or 3 weeks. You can go back and watch those shows if you want out on YouTube. Just search The Average Guy TV, and you can find that channel. The podcasts are out there. So in the review of this, I kind of threw out a note and said, should we do anything else? And Kevin, you'd said, hey, let's talk about kind of the enterprise implications of Windows Phone 7. We've talked about navigation, we've talked about podcasts, we've talked about music, but we really never got to the Office offerings, and so I'm kind of glad you brought that up, and tonight we'll spend a little bit of time doing that and walk that through. We both have cameras available. So, Kevin, let's start. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, your background, all those good kind of things so the folks can get to know you.
Sure. So I've been in the electronics industry for probably the last 30-plus years. Started in the semiconductor end of things, basically in the IT end of the business. I'm more in the sales and engineering aspect. I have the technical team inside of a large distributor that helps folks sell computer products to end users. So we get to touch a lot of big high-tech stuff. I tend to be in the storage networking, virtualization, and security end of the business, and hobby end of things. Obviously, home server stuff is near and dear to my heart. Just getting ready to redo a family home media room, and always excited about the prospects of the Windows Phone, and was very happy to see the different podcasts that you've done around those.
Very cool. Well, thanks for being willing to do that. Kevin, let me have you move your mic just a smidgen closer to you. We moved that away. Perfect. Perfect. So tell me about your phone background. I mean, what kind of phones have you had in the past? Where, at what point, you know, we all go back, I'm sure, to a StarTech flip phone. So we don't want to go that far back, right? But at what point did you kind of enter the smartphone market, and what have you tried?
Sure. Quite a few generations back, our company was an early adopter of BlackBerry Enterprise Service, so we had BlackBerry phones. We actually came out of BlackBerries before they were phones, just the high-tech pager that they originally started as. And, I made a brief departure. One of those deals where I had a BlackBerry die, I was looking for something new and popped into my AT&T store and walked out with a Samsung Blackjack. and the much maligned Samsung Blackjack. But you know, the things I remembered about that Windows Mobile 5, I think it was how good the browser was and how good the Office apps would display, you know, programs, the viewers, and stable phone, very, very good. I went back to a BlackBerry. I've had a Bold 9000 for quite a few years now, and you know, BlackBerries are great for email, and you know, so if you know, and internally to our company, we're just in the process of somewhat shifting out of the heavy BlackBerry focus and starting to embrace you know, kind of the catchword of, you know, bring your own device kind of technology. And that's opening the door to our company deploying some different applications to manage those devices. Mobile device management's kind of the hot key of how you're going to manage all these tablets and different phone varieties.
Yeah, and of course that hot word is BYOD, right? I mean, that's kind of the bring your own device to the corporations, and corporate America is kind of going to have to come to grips with that. I was talking to Rich O'Neill right before the show. Rich just ordered an iPad, and you know, he's going to want to take that in and you know, connect it to his enterprise. I was just talking to my brother. He's my younger brother, works for the federal government, and we were talking about some phone stuff, and he's on BlackBerry as well. And I said, you know, when are you going to switch off BlackBerry? He's like, when the U.S. government leaves BlackBerry. I mean, that's kind of where they're at, and so I didn't have this thought until recently, but I thought, you know, the government might single-handedly prop up RIM for a while, and because they are so slow to move over, your organization made a fairly significant investment in the BlackBerry server and the BES, right, the BlackBerry Enterprise Server and Commitment. Yeah. Are your IT guys very excited about moving away from BlackBerry and moving more to a bring your own device?
I don't know if excited would be the, you know, I think they're open to having more choices for the employees to use. BlackBerry was pretty darn stable for them and has been a good platform for them. I think the thing that they look at is to manage all the tablets and all the other technologies and all the other endpoint devices, it's a good time to shift, and it's a good time to make that kind of a move.
Yeah. So in the status you guys are in today, is it okay to bring in your own device? Do you have a way to connect to it? Do you have a separate access point for non-sanctioned wireless devices? How's it working in your environment?
Just in the beta phases right now, so I'm part of the beta program. And ultimately, probably the key to the program, if you're going to bring your own device, is that there needs to be a system set up so that you're basically signing off that the company is going to manage the data on your personal device. And kind of the stop point or the rubber hits the road point with that is if you lose your device, you got to let corporate know so they can wipe the device. And, you know, there's lots of different ways of doing that.
Yeah, and they have the ability. So do you sign some kind of agreement that says, yep, hey, we're going to wipe it? And so if you were to lose, so do you have your Windows phone on the enterprise? You get into your corporate email through that?
Yep.
And so if you lost it, you would call your help desk and say, I can't find it. I need you to remote wipe it, and they can do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys have password? I assume it forces some kind of password onto the phone as well?
Yep. Yeah, we happen to be a lot of vendors out there in MDM. The one that we're working with right now is a company called Mobile Iron, and you just set up a profile, you log in, bring the Mobile Iron app down onto your phone, and that sets some of those things up of the password requirement and a lot of the other profile things that they've laid out, basically in my name back at corporate.
Sure, and you have to install an app to make that work. Okay. Yeah, in our corporate environment, very similar, except once I set up ActiveSync, which is very easy to do on the Windows phone, yep, it pushes down some phone permissions, whatever. And it forces me, after a few minutes, it says, okay, you have to use a password now, and forces me to put a password on there. Well, you can use a PIN up to 5 digits, which is really handy on the phone. That works very, very well. We also have the ability to remote wipe, so that gives me a nice that gives me some nice comfort in knowing that if I did lose the phone, I could just call them and it would wipe it out. There are some features I was noticing when I was in there. There are some find your phone features in that. And so if you register it, and I don't know if you have to register it or what, but I'm at devices.live.com, and that Nokia Lumia 800 shows up in that set of options that I have there. And there is a find your phone link right there. It, just like I can connect to my computers through Live, I can also find my phone. And I imagine, I think I tried that once. It gives you some options, right? You can ring the phone, you can wipe it, you can lock it. Did I get all those right?
Yep. No, that's okay. A lot of things you can do remotely from the phone, and like you say, you know, just the search functions are very good from that point of view.
Yeah, Greg in chat says you can wipe it, ring it, and GPS it. So that sounds like a good combo. That's very handy, because I know in the enterprise, well, you don't have to be in the enterprise to lose your phone, but people do, right?
Oh, it's nice.
And
When you mentioned too about doing the active sync with your phone, when I first got my Windows phone was right before our company was quite ready to do the beta function. And I remember reading up on the Windows phone because it's Outlook. I think the wording in the Microsoft manual is, as you're trying to get your email into Outlook, is as a last resort, try plugging in your webmail address. And that's what I've done on this one initially. And for folks out there who have webmail access, it works marvelous on the Windows phone. I no more than hit the webmail address into my phone, put in my password, hit enter, all my emails was syncing up, my contacts synced up, calendar populated. Pretty much one of the best push-pull functions I've ever seen on the webmail running through Outlook Mobile.
Yeah, that does work well. In fact, I let some folks at work mess with the phone over, you know, give it to them overnight or for a couple days and say, hey, you know, try this out. Give me your impression of it. And I would just go in there and wipe the phone and hand it to them and say, all right, set this up. And, you know, they'd go in and get their email set up and do all that very, very easy. So it, not one of them called me and said, now these are all IT professionals. So it may be a little different, but they were able to get it set up quite easy. So let's talk a little bit about why you think, one of the things you said, you think this is a great business phone. So give me a couple reasons, some rundown of what you like about it. We talk about email some, and we didn't talk at all about it all the way. So I want to talk about that some more, because I got some questions along. You know, one of the things, I was a Palm Pre guy, right, from a couple years ago, and they did some really cool things with unified email. And the Windows phone is really not, does not really do that. It really keeps your Outlook account separate and your Yahoo account separate and your Gmail account separate. And I actually appreciate that. I don't want my email unified, because I get a lot of junk in my Yahoo account. I don't want that mixing with my work email. Are you the same way? Looks like you're nodding your head. Yeah.
Yep. I've got three separate emails running, work email through Outlook, and then two personal accounts. And I agree with you. I like having them separate as well. Part of the reason why, you know, I think my thought process of why this is a good business phone is because in our business life, it's a pretty heavily Microsoft-driven environment, and you know, Outlook looks and runs like Outlook, and you know, the fact, I don't know if you've played much with the cutting and pasting function, but I always find myself, you know, needing to forward an email to somebody who I haven't gotten into my contacts yet. And the ability to just bring up an email from that person, click on their name, click on copy, swing it over, paste it in, hit send. It just really works more intuitively than I've seen any of the other phones. And not saying other phones can't do that. It just in my experience, that's you know, been very a popular thing that I do.
Yeah. Now, are you comfortable showing your Outlook email? Is that something that's okay?
Yeah.
As you go into that, one of the, and yours might be a little brighter. Let me bring you into focus. It'll take a second. Okay, so if you've used OAuth, which is Outlook Web Access, I think you'll find this on the phone to be very, very similar. in their style. So if you are, I think they're very much the same. And I guess I say that because they both try and group emails together in logical, you know, all the responses and what you get back are all grouped into one. So if you have I guess it's called conversation mode.
Yep.
Conversation. And so that's the thing. Anything else in there that you might see that's different that you may not see in a regular email, or how do you like to use it?
Well, big things I do, I love the conversation mode as well. And the big thing you find with Windows Phone is the kind of the sliding back and forth. So I can have all email up, or I can drag it across and just do unread, or I can drag it across and just see urgent. So from a daily work point of view, I find that to be, you know, real powerful of not having to search through. Sometimes some people don't like the conversation mode, just because you know, it's not, you know, timelined as they're maybe used to it. But when you can flip through that quickly to unreads and urgents and things from that point of view, that works great for me.
Yeah, you don't find that gets a little messy? I have been. I just take a little getting used to, for me.
A little bit, yeah. It, you know, and that's where I'm thinking too. I still bop back and forth between my laptop and this, and probably the comparison I'm making is as part of this mobile beta that we're on, I'm also doing similar things with an Android tablet, and you know, there I'm probably making the comparison between mobile Outlook on the Windows Phone versus Touchdown on my Android tablet. And okay. Touchdown is good, but it's just not intuitive. It just doesn't seem to think like how, you know, like I'm thinking.
Yeah, Greg asked in chat, what are you using for a stylus? There, that's, I see you using that stylus. What are you?
This was a freebie at EMC is one of our vendors.
Oh, very nice.
Getting out freebies. I think it's the same as probably Targus is one of the brands that has a very similar stylus.
Let me just talk. Let me compare. I'm going to throw my Android device up here for a second, and let me just compare and contrast those two as we look at those. So this is again very very conversationally driven. So it groups. And can you turn conversation mode off? Will it get more like traditional email without the conversations?
I believe it will.
Let's look in the settings there. And so, yeah, there you go. So that's just, you turn that off and then pop back for me. And then that looks a little bit like traditional. One of the things I did learn too, one of the guys who I let use the phone said to me, hey, there's no way to bulk delete email. And I didn't know how to do that either. You can turn that back on so you don't forget that it's there. But if you hold your thumb or whatever against the left, all the way to the left end of the screen, it'll actually do a bulk. It'll set up a bulk. Just touch that for me on the left-hand side of the screen for you. Yeah. Oh, down by the emails. Let's see if it does that for you. It's not doing that for you. Oh, there you go. And then it you get the option. That's for the individual one. It seemed like when I did it, hold on, let me bring my phone back up. Because that was his major complaint. So I'm going to come here and then, see how that then enters into a kind of a bulk mode for me just by touching that, and then I can select emails and go back to the regular look if I want. So I think if you just touch that on your on the screen there, go down a little bit for me. Yeah, more in the email. Yeah. Right there, try that. Well, right now they would say, my friend, no, I think you got to get it all the way to the edge UI, all the way to the edge.
Got it.
Touch it almost like so on this phone here. Let me bring it back. So I'm gonna get it back into. So there's regular mode, yeah. Now don't press and hold, just one touch, one quick touch brings in. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. So that's not necessarily a very that's not a super intuitive. That's one of those things you got to read the manual to kind of know. Now it is kind of nice. Again, I was going to compare and contrast, you know, to my Android device. Let me bring that up here real quick. And this is the more of the look that I'm kind of used to for email. Let me pop over so folks can see that. So here's the look I'm kind of more used to, and I've got an edit button. Let me slide that down. I have an edit button right up there I can click, and that puts me in for bulk bulk management mode. If you get a lot of crap, that sometimes is, you know, a lot of crap email.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes is handy to be able to use. But it was funny. I didn't, when I was talking to one of the guys that was reviewing it, I didn't know how to do it either. And I kind of just found it by mistake. I was clicking along the side and I found it. So there's a way to do bulk. If you didn't know how to do bulk email, that is there. Okay. Anything else in email? Email is pretty much email, right? I mean, that you're in that every day, delete, use, right? That it looks like, or it looks like Outlook web access just on the mobile device. Anything else in there that you really like to use?
You know, that's other than just, and it's not so much an email thing as just the ease of cutting and pasting. I do find myself doing that kind of thing a lot, and you know, surprised that I'm able to do that well on the phone.
So show me that. Show me that real quick, because I had trouble getting that to work natively as well. So you're in there, and you want to grab some.
I'm going to pull off screen for just a second, make sure I can find somebody who.
Yeah, that's fine.
I can
that's
work
fine.
With.
Yeah. That's as I brought my work email up. I thought I better be careful about how much I show out there. But I should have set up a box that had a bunch of just regular email in it. While you're doing that, let me flip over. I can go to my Yahoo email, so or to my Google email. That is a similar look. That's probably what. So while this is Google, in fact, Tim, there you are. Tim, if Tim's watching, I don't think he's watching tonight, but. Tim Black is here, and so same kind of deal. If I touch the side, I get, so it's a consistent across the board. If I want to get bulk, click back in, it goes back. If I want to, I got an email from Walmart, that information is right there. And of course I can get your vacation or staycation essentials at Walmart, and no, they don't sponsor the show.
So here's how I usually end up doing it. So say if I'm in this email and I would hit say reply to all. Now I've got everybody's email addresses up here. Say I want to grab Peter. I just click on Peter, and it asks me if I want to remove him or copy. If I click copy, now it's on the clipboard, and I can go to that other email, hit forward, and just paste him in.
Oh, okay.
So function-wise, that's...
you know, that works. That's pretty easy. Do you find using the stylus is a lot easier than your finger?
I've started using it more and more. You know, for swiping, if I'm reading something or flipping through a lot of stuff, then I tend to find that it's easier to use my finger. If I'm doing some detail stuff, probably more with the stylus.
Okay. So that's email. That works probably as expected for most folks. Again, if they're Exchange users and they've used the web version, it looks very familiar when you go to use it. A few things to know here and there, a few little tips and tricks. We covered that one about bulk loading or bulk deleting. Let's talk a little bit about the calendar, because that's another feature inside that that works pretty well for Windows Phone, let me show you the live tile for that. In this case, we're rebooting. We have a reboot notification, but I can go in there and show that. Again, laid out pretty well, pretty easy to use. I've got the black screen on because it shows up really nice on the camera, and my events are right there. Kind of what you'd expect from a typical camera app. Kevin, do you find, how much use are you finding out of your camera app, or I mean out of your calendar app?
A lot. And yeah, probably the biggest thing I use in calendar is, so function-wise, if I, and so the consolidated calendar is nice. You can see your Facebook invite popped up in a beautiful fuchsia pink color. and whenever I open a document, you know, I guess I had to grab a different one here. Just the easy use from the running late button, I find I use quite a bit.
That's down. Where is that? Is that down on the?
Yep, down on the bottom right here. They got a button set straight up. You just hit running late, and you can email everyone or the person that set up the meeting. The other thing I use a lot of, you know, following up after a meeting, you know, might have some action items, and there's a reply to all function. So you're in a meeting and you want to hit reply to folks. you can reply to all, propose a new time. So I back to my old BlackBerry, that was one of the things that bothered me was in the calendar, there was really no reply function there. You couldn't just send an email back to everybody else on the call. So, that's probably my biggest ones there. And like all the better smartphones now, you can merge together multiple calendars and color code everything.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, with this one, the late functions, the reply to alls, those are just some of the more functions that I probably use out of them.
Yeah, I like that running late. I need to use that probably a lot more in there. I wonder if that's available on Android. I haven't. Now, like you'd expect on the calendar, you mentioned it. Any account that you have linked to the phone. So if you've set up, one of the things I didn't show before is when I go into Mail and I want to set up a new account, I can. Oops, I clicked the wrong thing. One sec, we'll go back. Hold on. I'm trying to do this upside down, so this is always kind of fun. So if I click the dots and say add an email account, you can kind of see, and let me flip over here, you can kind of see all the options that are available to you. So you have to set up a Windows Live account when you first get the phone. And by the way, I found out, I think I mentioned this on the last podcast, be very careful that you want that first Live account that you set up to be your real Live account, the one that you use and you have everything attached to, because you cannot change that once the phone is set up. Once it's in, it is in, and you got to wipe the phone if you want to do that differently. So set that one up. Be very careful. I set it up to be my account at yahoo.com by mistake, which somehow I have registered through Live. I don't know how I got that done. It's a separate account there. I can log into Live with my Yahoo account. I don't know why. But anyways, just make sure you get the right Live account. You can set up multiple Live accounts. So if you have one or two or 10, whatever, and you want to set up different ones, you can do more than one. There's the Outlook integration. In this case, this is a Nokia phone, so you have Nokia Mail, Yahoo Mail, Google. Then they have other accounts. And Kevin, I found the setting up of email accounts very, very easy. It really does most of the work for you.
Yeah, for both, I have Comcast Internet, so I have two Comcast email addresses that I tie into this and my Gmail, very, very easy to use. They did a good job of simplifying that interface.
Yeah, for sure. And so the email setup. So any account that I have that has a calendar associated with it pulls all that calendar information right into my primary calendar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then contacts would be the same way. And this is probably the phone has gotten the most traction on the People Hub, right? I mean, that is that's what folks like it for. It just works. I mean, it really does consolidate it nicely and does a nice job with the People Hub. What have you, do you find yourself using it a lot or getting to it a lot, or do you pin people to the start, to your start menu? How do you do that?
I haven't pinned too many people from that point of view, but what the big thing I find is because it is my Outlook contacts, and it's my LinkedIn and Facebook contacts as well. It helps you find those holes. Just the other day, I was going to call somebody, clicked on it to find their mobile, and two different choices came up. And what I realized is they'd done a better job of keeping their LinkedIn up to date than I had, keeping their contacts up to date. So very good from that point of view. And for me, anyway, it gives me a great way to stay in touch with folks. The recent function is nice because people that I've called, talked to, emailed to, all stay nicely in there. The all function, of course, is just where everybody is, and just by holding down, you can quickly pop up and go rapidly to another spot.
Now, that's actually a feature I just discovered today. Somebody asked me, okay, so both on Android and iOS, When you're looking for a contact, and let me bring this up real quick. When you're looking for a contact, let me not, because I don't want you to see all my contact information. But when you're bringing up a contact, there's a scroll bar down the right side that has the alphabet, right? And you can slide down to find the person. Say they're an S. You can just move your thumb down to the S, and that moves all the contacts up. And in Windows Phone, you just showed it a second ago. If you wanted to get you just click the button, and it's hard to see on yours. Might be easier to see on mine, but there you go. You get the alphabet right there. That's not that. That's kind of a nice, you know, the guys were like, yeah, but that doesn't work well. And I said to them, well, it doesn't work well because you're used to the iOS or the Android way. This is rethinking the way contacts are done, right? I mean, this is kind of like, here's a grid of, so if you're going to find me, you'd hit C, right? And then scroll through the contacts to find me. So, well, you don't have to do that. I was just as an example. So, anything else that you find really, really helpful and the people have? I mean, I know it's nice that it unifies all their information together. Yeah, you got to be careful with that because you don't want to show phone numbers and such. But because I know you go to a contact, everything's right there. You can just do anything. And that's the platforms are getting very similar. They're all getting that way. All the customer contacts right there.
So the one thing I haven't done with it that I've heard a lot of people rave about is the grouping function of grouping contacts by family, by work, you know, hobbies and those types of things. And I can see where that would have some power as well. I just haven't quite got to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, actually, I'm so bad with contacts. I mean, if you don't update your contact information, it's wrong in my phone. it saved me. The other day, I got spoofed or something, and they got a hold of my first 50 email addresses in my Yahoo account and sent out emails. Well, fortunately, 25 of them were bad, and 25 were not up to date, and so I got all these messages back, and that's how I knew I'd kind of, you know, something was going wrong with my email. And I quickly went in there and changed my password, but because I'm so bad at keeping contacts up to date. So that's for me. If you're not right in Facebook or LinkedIn or my, you know, my Outlook version of it, that's kind of nice that, you know, the enterprise kind of keeps that contact information up to date for you when it changes. So then let's talk a little bit about, I think this is the differentiator, because I think both on Android and iOS, the Office integration is kind of horrific. Let's talk a little bit about that. That's got this big, nice black Office tab that's there.
So I do spend a lot of time in here, and you know, back to that previous experience with Microsoft products, and I guess I'm surprised. I'm on AT&T. Nice thing with AT&T is you can be on the internet, on the phone at the same time. And just this afternoon, I was at another appointment, and somebody shot over a PowerPoint presentation for me. And on a 4.3-inch screen, it's very visible. And I have yet to find any document that this won't render. On my Android tablet, most things are viewable, but even with the latest package that I actually had to pay some money for to get on there from an Office point of view, a lot of graphics don't render correctly, a lot of slides don't show correctly, and granted, I'm not editing those functions, but visibility-wise, you can go in and read a spreadsheet and spread out the screen and make it large enough to make it viewable. So I definitely have yet to find anything that I couldn't view properly on it. And I think some of that ties into, you know, the other discussion we were talking about a bit is the OneNote factor. And I think as we head into this bring your own device, mobile device boon at my work, as a lot of other folks are, You quickly, as you give people smartphones and give them tablets, and now they have multiple places they can get email on, the big question is, well, what else can I do with it? And I think note-taking is the other big area, and that, you know, opens up the OneNote discussion. And, Evernote's a great product for iOS, and you can get it on Microsoft products as well. But
Android as well.
Android as well. But from an enterprise point of view, and I guess just how I've kind of deployed it here is I use my SkyDrive account. I've got Office Professional on my PC. I've made a couple of folders up there. And if I go into my documents on SkyDrive, I've got personal and work. In work, I break that out into, I guess you can see it pretty well there,
yeah,
notes,
that's okay.
Projects, itineraries, and For folks who haven't used OneNote, by all means, go out and have a look at it. It's pretty well embedded in every one of the, almost all of the Office packages today. But if I go into Notes, I can set up pages prior to this. I was just doing a little experimenting as I'm still kind of in the beta phase with this. But you can put in check boxes so that as you finish tasks, you can check them off. This little icon illustrates that I put in an audio clip there. So I happened to be sitting in a meeting, turned the phone on to do a little recording, and let it capture that. This was me just taking a picture using the camera and the phone. The one thing you'll see that a lot of people are kind of upset about is OneNote Mobile for all three platforms, Windows Phone, Android, and the iPhone. As far as I can tell, you can't ink on any of those yet. And you know, a lot of people with tablets like the idea of being able to draw right on the tablet and have it capture. And you know, it sounds like that's something that's coming in the future. But I did just do a little doodling. And if you have a draw package that saves it as a JPEG, it'll save as a picture, and then you can pop it in.
That's some awesome artwork that you got there, Kevin.
It's beautiful. It took me a lot of time to get that done.
Very good.
The other thing I stumbled onto is, you know, ultimately my hope and what I'm working with IT on is for us to use use OneNote as our main, you know, note-taking package. OneNote gives you the ability to share notebooks, share pages, but also in this case, if I had taken these notes and just wanted to send it to someone else by hitting the email button on the bottom here, it saves that page as a file, lets me choose which email client, and I can go ahead and send that. So, you know, if I sent this to you, you'd end up with a file that's a OneNote document, and you could open it in OneNote. You could merge it in with your other data, view it. It's a very intuitive, really kind of slick way to manage your notes and your files from that point of view.
Yeah, no, absolutely. People continue to rave about OneNote. It's the comment I get when I talk to folks about how they're doing their productivity, and they're like, oh yeah, OneNote, we're using it. You had go back to your phone for a sec. Go back a screen or two to your connections or locations, I think is what it was called. And you have in there so SkyDrive is a on the web that you have available to you. SharePoint, do you have yours connected to a SharePoint server in your corporate environment?
Not right now. We use Juniper for our firewalls, and the Junos Pulse client is just soon to be released for the phone.
Okay. And then any 365 offerings that you have available to you? If I imagine for a small business or for businesses using 365, that would become available through the domain login setup, right?
Right, and currently we haven't deployed it that way, but the standard stuff. The other thing I was going to note is when you do open OneNotes, then they set up here as tiles, and it's very easy for you to grab. You know, back to the pinning function, you can pin it to the start if you want. So you start a note page, and you can pop it right up front.
Yeah, that's where I think that's really powerful right there. And is then, being, you know, and for me, I'd have my shopping list up front. That would be the. Can you pick this up on the way home? I assume if my shopping list is available to me on, and I've got my wife also has access to that shopping list on her phone, she could go in, update it. It would automatically save up the next time I open it. Her changes are going to be in it?
Yes.
Okay.
So my Father's Day, the request for Father's Day shopping, I just sat down with the Sunday paper and took pictures of things I wanted and popped them in here.
Very good.
And that's a good change. If you hit the Microsoft Office site, they make a big point of talking about the differences between OneNote 2007 and OneNote 2010. And 7, the issue with 7 was that it was last in. Last in was the final copy. So if you and I were editing the same document, you could write over my changes and I would never know it if you were the last one out. 2010 identifies the person doing the editing. So if we brought this up on my PC right now in, you know, full-blown OneNote and looked at the workbook, much like Google Docs, it will go through and tell you exactly who edited which items and who made which changes to it.
Okay. You know, one of the things that I'm horribly addicted to, and we use it all the time. In fact, you and I used it tonight. We should have used OneNote, to be honest with you, for our show notes. But I am so hooked on Google Docs and the automatic update, you know, real-time sharing capabilities that exist inside of Google Docs. whenever I ask anybody, when's that coming for OneNote? I kind of get crickets. Have you heard? I mean, I know there's the ability to update and such, but I don't think you can do it in real. You can't collaborate in real time in OneNote.
You know, we haven't tried yet, but you know, I'll have to give you a future update here because I do have a new project starting that we just got. I just set up a new SharePoint environment for it, and we're all going to use OneNote as the note-taking function there. So I don't know that you can collaborate from that point of view, and that's where some of the kind of the other questions come in from my there is a distinct difference between OneNote Mobile that's on these devices and then you know, full-blown OneNote. And I think the whole inking thing and some of the other feature things, if you remember back to when 2007 Office first came out, it was right when we started to see some of the slate-style tablets that, you know, looked like a tablet, but it was really a PC, and you know, Microsoft was demonstrating it from that point of view. So I think people had an expectation that the mobile OneNote would be a little bit more powerful than it is. But for entering data, it works out quite well.
Yeah, just giving an example of what we used to use it for the show notes for the home server show. Maybe I should say I used to. And I was trying to move both Dave and John onto this idea of, you know, having a shared show notes. Well, of course, as we moved towards Google Docs, that just became, you know, during the middle of the podcast when we can in real time update the document. Now, I get the fact that Google Docs are not as nice of a, you know, formatting is not as nice. Some cross-platform availability is not as nice. But when you're talking about being able to in real time just share documents, especially in a podcast scenario, or, you know, when I produce the show over the weekends, Andrew and I sometimes collaborate on stuff that way, really is a game changer. And so I think if I were to say one thing to Microsoft, I would say, hey, look, let's get some real-time collaboration going in OneNote. And so, you know, I know there's some issues with that, but let's get that done. Because if that's done, I'm on OneNote all the way. I'm done and moved over.
No, I think you're right. You know, there's a lot of folks are using Google Docs. Very, very positive experience from that point of view, and you know, Microsoft's come a long ways with this. At the end of the day, I think in terms of my company's a little conservative, and I always tend to think in terms of what I think they will adopt. And they're probably not in a mode of adopting Google Docs, but
yeah, no, that's been the hard sell. I don't use it on a corporate level. I only use it for the podcasts, and so I'd love to be able to use it for some collaboration, but we're not allowed to use it either, and for good reason. I'm okay with that. They're all the right reasons, but it is for what we do with the podcast and with the variety of folks. You know, John's in Montreal, Dave's out in Wisconsin for now. Andrew's in Melbourne, Australia. I've got hosts all over the country, you know, in home tech here. We have a variety of folks that are on. And it just makes doing the show notes that, for whatever reason, the Google Doc has worked. Well, let me break in real quick. We have quite a few viewers watching on YouTube. I want to welcome them to just a special edition of the Home Tech podcast. If you're brand new to us, we podcast every Thursday night. I'm here with Kevin Schoonover, and we're talking about Windows Phone 7 and the Enterprise. And all that information is going to be available after we're done. So if you just joined us, I saw a little boost up in numbers. If you just joined us, head over to theaverageguy.tv. If you also want to join us in chat, we've got a chat window over there as well. It's a live stream chat. Doesn't require any sign in for the most part. You can just join us in chat. Again, that's theaverageguy.tv/live, and all the shows are posted over there. Okay, so you had mentioned in the notes back to MDM, and I assume that stands for mobile data management or mobile device management.
Mobile device management, yeah.
And so you've got you've kind of outlined some objectives, at least of maybe where you're headed from an MDM standpoint. Why don't you walk me through those real quick? I mean, really, what do you want to achieve in the enterprise?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think we're trying to really optimize collaboration, and like I said, whenever you're adopting devices like this, the instant thing is getting email to everybody. And when users get a smartphone and email is readily available and easily accessed, and then they get a tablet and same thing, then their next question is, you know, well, what else can I do with these things? And the note-taking thing kind of falls into OneNote, and between the SharePoint integration, which kind of, excited to try the SharePoint functionality on the phone here as well and see what kind of things I can do with that. I'm just more and more amazed with the amount of stuff I can do with the phone that I won't say precludes a tablet, but other than the bigger screen, there's not a lot of functionality that I can't do on the phone itself. Other things you're moving forward is there is, momentum in the enterprise, private and public sector for what's being referred to as private app stores. And that's kind of one of the next big things I see in the mobile device function is, internally now I have to log in through a VPN onto our system to approve expense reports and do a lot of other HR and finance and different internal company functions. I saw a great demo recently from a company who specializes in writing these applications of, instead of me having to pop out my laptop and, do that kind of access, what if I had an app on my phone that would allow me to connect directly to our systems, view open expense reports, view open, job requisitions, approve, deny. There's a lot of efficiencies.
Time sheet applications.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Anything else along those lines that you're hoping to achieve from an MDM standpoint, or what you're hoping to get an ROI on as you go forward?
That's probably the biggest ones is we're like any big company, it's trying to be more productive per person, and I think we've got a lot of great tools out there now. It's a matter of how do we let people use the tools but yet keep the company data safe and secure. So that's
right.
It's nice to give them the ability to have access to the data, but we got to be very careful to make sure that it stays protected.
Right. Okay, so we've talked about what you like. What's missing at this point? What's on the list of things that you're like, oh, I wish it had? Let me prime the pump. Remote desktop, right? I wish it had some remote desktop capabilities. I have this Lumia 800. The 900 is much larger. I'm a guy that believes that size matters, and so I'm a big screen guy. I like the big screen. The 800's not a phone I would choose. I would go with the bigger 900. What's the screen size that you have there?
4.3.
Okay, so you've got the Lumia 900 size. What is that again?
4.3 inch screen.
Yeah. What's the model of the phone?
Oh, a Lumia 900.
Oh, that is the 900.
Yeah,
oh,
this
awesome.
Is the 900.
It, good.
It's the white Stormtrooper.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's good. Nokia will appreciate that in the podcast. I hadn't asked you that in advance. So, and so I would favor the larger screen, especially for remote desktop. What kind of things have you found that that you're missing?
So, and once again, not that I do it a lot, but in previous versions of Windows phones, I always had really good luck with things like WebEx and secure meeting, some of the online meeting formats. Once again, I travel a lot for work, and it's quite frequent that I do pop on a WebEx broadcast. So far, I haven't been able to get secure meeting or WebEx to work with the browser, and those kind of technologies are very browser related. I've got open tickets with both those companies, and it's definitely something that no pushback on supporting it. I think it's a question of when they'll be supporting it from that point of view, but. That's probably my biggest ones. You hit the remote desktop is probably one of my other deals. I haven't run into it as an issue, but if you do any web searching on the topic of is Windows Phone ready for the enterprise, a lot of people bring up the concern that the Windows Phone currently doesn't support on-device encryption. And a lot of end users, the way they did their ActiveSync deployment, that's one of their requirements. So there are certain end user environments that Windows Phone is just going to, you know, because it doesn't have that checkbox, it's, you know, going to be ruled out for that. You know, it sounds like they've made, between 7 and 7.5, they made a lot of changes in the way they did ActiveSync, and it sounds like from 7.5 to 8, you know, if they don't have on-device encryption, I'm sure they'll be awfully close to it. And that's one of those topics. It depends on how you deploy your mobile device environment. If you're going at it like we are, where it's more of a deployment around using a mobile device manager, you can do a lot of that functionality in mobile device management yourself.
Okay, yeah, and you know what? As you were talking there, I was thinking of, so my list would be one of the things we used, we started using Gallup, where I work, is Link. And I don't know how much, do you know, is there a Link client for the phone? If I have the right credentials, can I hook in and get access to my Link services, which would be IM and video and audio capabilities?
I've not checked on Link. Okay. Yeah, we didn't do much with Link.
Yeah, John Zadler in chat just said he installed a Link server 2010 on one of his servers at home, and he's going to try the Link client on his son's Nokia 900 as well. John, we should have had your son on here. I didn't even think to. You've got a Nokia device. We should have brought him on and let him podcast like his dad. So, yeah, but that would be and again, that's just something, Kevin, I just thought about that. Boy, that would be handy. Link is already very, very handy to have. You know, it's on my laptop. It goes with me wherever I go. I've been in meetings, one-on-one meetings, where a call came in. I was able to take it. We conferenced right there. It's got some video capabilities. It acts and looks a lot like Skype, or it's a lot like Skype in the functionality of it. Watch your breathing there for me, if you would. And I think Skype could be an amazing productivity tool if, one, they could make it stable, and, two, they could make it secure. And so I'm anxious for Link in a lot of ways because it is that behind the firewall secure communications client. We work with folks all over the world, and I want to be able to have instant access to them, video, any time of the day or night. That's what I want. I don't want to make a phone call. I want to see their face, right? That, to me, that is very, very important to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of hoping I'll have to do a little look on that. If anyone knows, and John, maybe you can keep us up to date over on the Facebook page as you get some info on this. But I'd be very, very interested in knowing Link capabilities on the Windows platform, on the Windows Phone platform, and what that means. Because if it would work, oh man, that would sway me big time over to my next phone being a Windows Phone 7. Kevin, let me ask you this. So you got the Lumia 900. You're on the latest and greatest at this point for the most part. Would you, if you could change, if I said, hey, I'm going to cover your upgrade fees and any costs you're going to incur and you wanted another phone, would you pick something different?
No, you know, I think Your question comes after just getting a new update yesterday. So any of the Lumia 900 folks on there, make sure you do the update, because so far it appears to fix the camera button that didn't always work as described. So
it's just on the 900 or on the 800 as well?
You know, I think the issue was only on the 900. Okay. Technically, by pushing the camera button, you should always get instantly to the camera, and that was a little intermittent on the 900. So that fixed itself quickly. To answer your question, I would buy another one of these in a heartbeat. I recommend it to a lot of folks. You know, I think it's a great phone. You know, definitely I've played with, I have not owned an iPhone, but I've helped a lot of the guys that work with them. And my wife has a Motorola Droid Razor, so I stay up to date with Android a lot as well. I'm very, very, very impressed with all the good technology out there. But yeah, I definitely stick in the Windows camp and looking forward to seeing what they're going to do on the next version.
Well, we've got some great Windows Phone correspondents here at the Average Guy Network with guys covering Windows Phones. Kevin, you've just added yourself to the list of guys that we'll go to when we talk Windows Phone and stuff. This will certainly not be the last Windows Phone podcast that will be available from the Average Guy Network. We are in a couple weeks. Next weekend's Father's Day, and so I think I'm just going to avoid, although we would all gladly podcast on Father's Day, I don't think that would be appreciated by the gals. And so we'll take next weekend off. We do have a podcast coming up that I hope to get as many folks involved with, maybe the weekend after, although I think I might be out of town. We'll figure it out. And that's the future of Windows Phone. So I'm going to put a general casting call out to anybody who might want to put some input onto what they think the Windows Phone is, and not just don't be spouting a bunch of crap. We actually want you to have an opinion about where you think Windows Phone is going. I'm sure we'll have some folks who say it's done. I think we'll have some folks that say it's got a bright future, and that'll come up in a couple weeks. You can, if you want to join that, you can do it a couple different ways. Join, send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. It's right there on the bottom of the, let's see, it's right there on the bottom of the screen, right there. You can log into Facebook, and so we have a Facebook page and a Facebook group, and you can contact me that way. Just say, hey Jim, I'm interested in doing this. You need to have a decent phone and a camera. Kevin, it got a little dark on you as the as the evening progressed. We had good light an hour ago when we started, and the lights kind of went down on you. But you need a camera, a good camera, and a good mic like Kevin has to be able to pull that off. Or you can those are the best ways: Facebook or Facebook or an email. Kevin, I was going to say, you were talking about the phones in your house. Of course, I have I have an Android Samsung Galaxy S2. I kind of went with the raw horsepower and have enjoyed Android. Of course, Nokia was kind enough, and thanks Hannah and team over at Nokia. This will be the last podcast that we do with the Nokia Lumia 800. I'll pull the SIM card out tonight. It'll get loaded back up in the box and go back to Nokia via DHL. And so I appreciate Nokia giving me the opportunity to review it. I'd like to review a 900 if they're listening to the podcast. I doubt they've made it all the way to the end though, but it'd be nice to get the 900. We can talk some more about that. And my wife has an iPhone, so we have all three of the major phones in our house, and I feel comfortable knowing that I've worked on all of them, and I have a fairly good idea of what they all can say and do. So, yeah, Greg says, don't do it, Jim. Unfortunately, they'll charge me about $600 if I don't send that phone back. So away it goes tomorrow. Well, Kevin, I do appreciate you being willing to kind of jump in. It takes it's kind of scary to just jump in a podcast and say, yeah, I'll do that. You didn't know me. I mean, you've listened to the podcast, so you knew me. And so I will say thanks for doing that. And I'm sure hopefully you'll be able to join us again. Would you come back on if we asked you to?
Oh, absolutely. Be happy to.
Awesome. Good to have you. And as it gets darker there up in middle Michigan, no, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
We appreciate you being on the show. I'll remind folks, again, if they want to contact the show, send an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. For all the things that we talked about, you can head out there. There'll be some show notes around this. There'll be a YouTube video. If you're watching live, we had some viewers come on tonight. If you're watching live, thanks for coming out. This will be available almost immediately over at the YouTube channel. Again, you can find us on YouTube or Facebook or Google+. Just search The Average Guy TV or The Average Guy Podcast, and that will bring that up. That'll do it for tonight. Thanks for listening. We're back on Thursday night. We're on schedule this week. And we will have a podcast Thursday night, 8 o'clock, averageguy.tv/live. Kevin, again, thanks again. Appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, thank you.
Good night, everybody.